In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the series of readings that we follow every Sunday, week by week, as we gather, comes from a text called the Revised Common Lectionary. And this week I found myself amused by the choices made by the RCL in our first reading. Our first lesson today begins right in the middle of a chapter in the book of Joshua. And it's true that chapter divisions in the Bible are not always reliable guides to where stories start and finish. But this one, this story, this selection by the RCL begins right in the middle of a paragraph, right in the middle of a story. It's the story of how the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, because the very first ones who came out of Egypt were brought on a direct line to the promised land, and they got to the border and said, "I don't know, that looks scary." And so they turned back. And they were led by Moses in the desert for 40 years, just wandering around until all that first generation died. And a new generation rose up, and these are the people who have been brought once again to the border of the promised land. A new generation who was raised in the desert. A new generation that didn't even remember Egypt and what that was all about. A new generation that had not been circumcised. Now, circumcision was the mark of the people of God, right? It was the mark given to Abraham and to all of Abraham's descendants. And so here was a generation that had not been circumcised. And so before the people entered the land, Joshua made knives and circumcised all the men in the company, all the fighting men, all the warriors, all the soldiers. This was a bold move. The people of Israel are on the border of the promised land, and those in front of them know they're coming and are frightened of them and are looking for any advantage in the coming war. And Joshua decides to disable the entire army. Joshua trusts in God's protection. Joshua is willing to be vulnerable. Joshua fears God more than he fears the armies of humankind. For Joshua, his priorities are very clear, and he makes them clear. Right? It's like he's laying his head in the mouth of the lion. It's almost like he's daring God. "You said you were going to protect us, so here we go." This is the faith that defines Joshua. And now Joshua confers that faith on a new generation of Israelites. A faith that is carved in their skin, carved in the skin of their husbands and brothers and children. Then we get to today's reading, which is, continues the story. Now the shame of the people has been rolled away. And so it is only after circumcision, only after Pesach, Passover, the celebration that we celebrate as Easter, only after circumcision and Pesach do the people enter the promised land. And so circumcision is not just a symbol, but it is a practice of deep trust. And Pesach is a reminder, a reenactment of God's saving act, remembering when God brought the people out of Egypt, this core story from which their story emerges, from which our story emerges. And with these two things, with circumcision and Pesach at the core of the people's understanding, at the core of their recent memory, finally the people are ready to enter the promised land. And the text is emphatic. It says that very next day, that next day, the people began to eat the fruits of the land, and the manna ceased. You remember the manna, that magical bread from heaven that just appeared on the ground 6 days out of the week for the past 40 years. And it stops. And instead, the people encounter a deeper magic. God at work in the fields, providing sustainable crops for them to consume. And so as the people enter the land, their relationship with God changes. The relationship between the people and God changes because this is no longer simply the God who meets them in times of crisis, no longer just the God who brought them out of Egypt and took care of them in the wilderness and the desert. But now this is also the God of abiding relationship. The God who is in relationship with them through the ebb and the flow of the seasons, like family, like mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and spouses and children. And so the people are brought into a new kind of relationship with God, and this is the promised land for Israel. This is the promised land for us. Our reading gives us this idyllic scene of entering the promised land, and yet it is laced all through with notes of violence. Right, it begins, our lectionary cut it off, but it begins with discussion about circumcision, which is a bloody procedure. And then it continues saying that while the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. Jericho. Who remembers Jericho? It's a good Sunday school story, Jericho. It was a pretty good VeggieTales episode, too. Had the people walk around the city and around the city and around the city day after day, nothing but walking around the city until one day the walls fall down and the people achieve their first victory in the promised land. It's a great story, and it's a complicated story, right? When we're no longer children, and we start to remember, that sounds a lot like genocide. That sounds a lot like colonization. We start to think that maybe those people living in Jericho, they too were human beings, people with families and children. And what we have here in Joshua is the beginning of a whole series of stories of conquest, of destruction and pillaging and displacement. I remember reading these in junior high and thinking, oh, these are good stories, right? It's like a war movie. But war is a lot more complicated than the movies. The world is more complicated than that. There are two sides to every story. And we see that even today in the Middle East, even today in the current conflict in Israel and Gaza, right? It's a conflict without good guys. You might choose to blame one side or the other, but then all you have to do is pull the lens back a little further, and it goes the other way too. And we see that this is a conflict that spans years and generations and centuries. A conflict that we read about in Joshua today in our scriptures. And I suppose the good news is that the archaeological evidence is complicated. Right? The archaeological evidence for the conquest of Palestine is complicated. Even the biblical accounts are mixed. We have the stories of the conquest in the Bible, the stories told as the dreams of people who themselves were colonized and abused by a succession of empires. And so they tell these stories, these dreams of reversal. What would it be like if we were on top? What would it be like if we were the winners? And so we have these stories, these alternative visions of people who had only ever seen empires. And it's their best attempt to subvert the usual narrative, to dream differently, to think how life could be different. But as we read the Bible, we see that there are other texts who are very subtle in explaining, well, it wasn't quite like that. It wasn't just the clean clean sweep victory that we all would like to tell a story about. We read about prophets telling the people, well, you know, God didn't allow you to wipe out all the peoples of the land because God was worried that the wild animals would grow up and they would come get you. We see disagreements in the texts about welcoming the stranger. We see vehement arguments between prophets about the appropriateness of marrying a non-Jewish person. And maybe this ambiguity, maybe this kind of mixture of stories, maybe this is why our story today begins with circumcision. Our story today begins not with a call to victory, a call to strength, a call to military strategy. Our story begins today not with a call to political or to cultural power or dominance. Instead, our story begins with a call to vulnerability, to weakness, to dependence upon God. Our story begins with a call to trust that God can and will get things right, even if I can't. Our story calls us to trust that right will be accomplished by God, and it's probably going to look different than I expect. It's probably going to be surprising to me, maybe shocking, maybe even dismaying. Our story today is a call to trust that victory for God's people is not going to look like the empire's vision of victory, right? A vision of dominance or control or getting my way. Faith in God is not meant to help us to get ahead in the game that we see everybody else is playing, a game often characterized by competition and control and domination and belittling others. Faith invites us to exit that game altogether. Faith invites us to live in the economy not of the empire, but of the kingdom of God. And that's the kind of faith that is going to challenge you and me over and over to look deep down inside and see what work God is doing to change me, to call me to repent, to call me to be transformed, to discover what God is doing inside me. As we read today's story, there is a promised land. But this promised land is not primarily about maps and politics and power and conquest. This promised land is about a change of one's relationship with God, having God at the center of your life. The promised land is the place where your faith, where your fear of God will define every other decision in life, every other attitude in your life. And so the invitation of Scripture is not just about our bodies or about our practices, but it's most of all about our relationships, about our relationships with those who are close to us and our relationships with those that the world would tell us are our enemies. The Bible, Old Testament, New, speaks of circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart, which is repentance from the powers and attitudes and ways that are contrary to God. Circumcision of the heart, which means living in a new way such that you too, this very day, might enjoy the fruits of the promised land. Amen.
Amen. Amen.